Hey, do you have an idea for a podcast but don't know where to start? Or do you have an already existing podcast that you want to take to the next level? Well, check out WeKnowPodcasting.com. From concept development to theme music to editing to logos, WeKnowPodcasting.com is a one-stop shop for all things pod. Don't hesitate to hit us up. We're very nice.
Everybody, and welcome to another episode of Horror Movie Night. This week, we are talking about Metamorphosis, the alien factor from 1993, maybe? I don't know. This one was picked by Scott. Scott, I have a sneaking suspicion I know why you picked this, and it may have to do with this being sort of a sequel to another movie we've talked about.
Yep, which I also picked. I don't even know how it came up, but okay, so this is the unofficial... I don't know how officially unofficial and how officially unofficial this is. It's a sequel to The Deadly Spawn, which I picked 3-4 years ago, like a long time ago. Oh, Kyle, you didn't know?
No. Watching Kyle's brain process that in real time after you said it was perfect.
What? That's so silly. Okay.
I don't know how or why.
I didn't know the fact in itself that it was a sequel. I wouldn't have guessed. That wouldn't have been what I guessed. I don't know what I would have guessed. It wouldn't have been that.
Yeah, I don't know either. Honestly, like I don't understand what their thought process was when they were like, yeah, this is going to be a sequel to... I don't know if it... And the thing is that every week I'm like, guys, I'm going to become the guy that does all the research. And then I'm spotty at best at it. You know, like
You've also picked a movie that... I mean,
there's not a whole lot to go on.
Yeah, I was going to say, IMDb is usually our best source, followed by Wikipedia on like fun facts and behind the scenes stuff. And I think IMDb had like 4 facts maybe for this one. Like, it was sparse for sure. And at least 2 of them were just the same variation of sequel to Deadly Spawn.
Yeah, and there's no answer to why. If I really would have put the time in, and you know, the frustrating thing is that I have the best intentions, right?
Of course.
But
of course,
I had the greatest intentions of putting in the work to figure out, like, maybe doing some cross-referencing of the people that were involved with this and the people that were involved with Deadly Spawn. I mean, those are simple things that it would take 5 minutes to do, and here I am not prepared. I have tons of notes.
The listeners can do it for themselves. They don't
need us.
That's
not what people come to us
for. We don't need to hold your hand through the research, listener who wants to know more about this, who reacted the same way that I did to this information.
Yeah, like this, it just sounds like, you know, somebody just smashing their keyboard trying to figure out what's going on.
So here's the other thing. So this was 1990. Metamorphosis, the alien factor from 1990, and also in 1990 was a separate horror movie also called Metamorphosis that came out.
Yes.
So that made research extra difficult.
Whoa, hold on. Oh, shit.
Did you watch the wrong Metamorphosis? So did you watch the one about the anti-aging serum that...
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So how about you tell us a little bit about your Metamorphosis?
Yeah,
because
yeah. That's
what
actually
happened
amazing
in your version.
Dude,
of
dude, you gotta fucking fire my ass. This sucks. Okay. No, this makes a lot of sense. This makes a lot more sense. It's my reaction to the fact. Okay. So a quick rundown of my Metamorphosis. It's about a scientist who has been getting all this grant money for these experiments that he's done on monkeys. And there's not really there's not a lot of information about what experiment he is doing other than he's not sharing his findings. And they keep giving him money. And they're like, you got to tell us a little bit of what's going on. And instead he's like, I'll get you something. And instead of doing the experiments on the monkeys that he's been killing, he does the experiment upon himself.
Wait, did you watch Monkey Shines?
Well, the other scary part is that he's sort of kind of still explaining the plot of Metamorphosis.
Did
the
you? Alien Factor. Well, to I a am. It is extent. Metamorphosis. It's just not Colin the Alien Factor. The Alien I know. Factor. I'm right.
There is no Alien Factor to be had.
There's a 0% Alien Factor in this movie. There's not even an alien variable. There's nothing. There's nothing. This is pure science. This is fact. And what happens is he does this, and then he starts to black out, and he's attacking women. But then it's women that he knows, so then he doesn't kill them. He like either it's sort of alluded to a sexual assault, beating them up, and then like when they see him again, they're like, "Stay away from me!" And he's like, "No, I'm trying to like figure out what's going on." But he's just a real douchey from the jump, a real douchey college professor scientist, right? I can't believe I watched the wrong movie.
And I love the idea that you're watching that movie and thinking, why would Scott pick this?
I've decided that I'm going to go like with the psychological thrillers. Sorry, everybody.
Fucking, I don't know. And so, well, and my beer matches that movie and not this movie.
Oh, no. That is the saddest part about this.
What's the beer? What's the beer?
Well, so it's going to be crazy because this movie is really fucking boring.
I mean, not that our Alien Factor was like super interesting either, but.
Yeah, the Alien Factor didn't factor in too much more fun to the Metamorphosis.
Come on.
So what happens is he ends up, you know, the serum takes a toll on him. He's sort of like. It looks like he like ages really quickly. He starts to get like gooey and goopy and like looking old.
Well, so there
but, like,
is goopiness in this movie too. Yeah, so I guess it's not that different.
So I just assume that he's going to sort of fade away into he's overdosed himself on his serum and is going to just fucking be debilitated or whatever. And then at the end of it, they're trying to find him who is doing the assaulting or who has been killing people. And by the end of it, the police show up, they bust in the door, and he's this goopy dinosaur? He's a lizard. He's a lizard. He's a lizard.
Did you watch Fly 2? Because like, I really feel like there are a million movies that you could have watched, and none of them were the right movie, but none of them are really the wrong movie
either. The wrong
movie. Which is
I'm in the same vein.
Like, it sounds close enough that it wouldn't be crazy for Metamorphosis that you watch to be the double feature for the Metamorphosis that we watch.
Well,
like,
Spawn was my... Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. It wasn't, that wasn't my double feature.
There's enough of a Venn diagram overlay on those two movies.
And, you know, they blow this dinosaur Barney monster, gooey Barney, to smithereens, and then the movie ends with the woman, who I don't remember their connection, and her son... And then, like, he has a pet lizard, and she looks over and is like, "Oh no!" And it does like that, like freeze frame, like, "Uh oh, he's somehow like the lizard."
What year
It was 1990.
Oh,
it was the exact same year.
Yeah, I have a New England from New England Brewing Company. It's called Coriolis. It's a double IPA, and I had a hard time figuring out what beer I was going to have because I was looking for like a scientist one. but then I already had this in the fridge, and it had like a lizard person on it.
Looking at that can, I think it still works for this.
for Deadly Spawn too. Well, I'm excited to hear about your viewing this week.
Well, Deadly Spawn, this is not.
I'll tell you, the poster for your Metamorphosis sucks compared to mine. My poster fucking ruined my Metamorphosis. I'm dying on this hill. I'm completely wrong. I'm in the wrong so much.
So the thing that's like a weird decision in this movie out the gate is that the first third of this film is like flashback when it didn't need to be flashback.
The pacing is so shit because they keep doing flashbacks to just the scientist and the evil corporation people like arguing. It happens.
That could have just been
so
linear. I just don't get it. Like I feel like that had to have been that they shot the movie and was like, shit, this movie's 56 minutes. It's like, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to write a bunch of dialogue where the one scientist is being interviewed by people who are confused about what happened.
Yes.
And we're just going to use that to break up what we already filmed so that all of the stuff that we filmed is being explained to the audience. It's a real Silent Night, Deadly Night Part 2 type scenario where it's like, let's film the bare minimum to pad this out. But man, this movie lives and dies by its puppetry. Like, if it wasn't for these weird puppets, there'd be nothing for me to cling to
stop
in this movie.
There's real deal, like, people in body suits. There's regular puppetry. Like, there's goo, there's every kind of physical effect that you could imagine in this movie, and no talent of actors.
No, it's so Kyle, the version that we watched of Metamorphosis involves...
I'm so embarrassed.
I love that it's like embarrassment is what you feel. Like, it's just, you take this shit way more seriously than Brian does. Yeah.
I'll be back in 2 hours. Just let me go watch this movie.
Please, no. Don't waste your time.
You really don't need to. So
well,
it's
you don't
about
need to watch
this...
mine either. It's fine.
So oh, it's I'm definitely two... never watching yours.
Yeah. It's these two sisters, and their dad's a security guard at this science lab,
now,
and he doesn't show up.
It's very confusing that he's a security guard and not a scientist.
Yeah, because they were like, no. No scientist would be a single father with two daughters. That doesn't make sense. Security guard.
Bro, that's like, rough. Well, it was 1990, so...
That was 1990. And the sisters have a weird relationship because the first line of dialogue hear from the younger sister is she walks in while her older sister is making out with her real nerd of a boyfriend. And she just goes, wow, get on it, sis, which is like the female version of like, you've got big tits and I'm going to tell everybody that I saw them. It's a real wild relationship between the two of them. But their dad doesn't come home from work. And while all of this is going on, there's this whole investigation at the lab because their dad has actually been killed by some type of creature. And as they dig deeper into this mysterious murder creature, we get the whole backstory that it was like him experimenting on some type of alien. And there's a lot of puppetry involving them. A lot of the aliens look like Mad Balls, if you remember those.
They do.
From your childhood.
Dude, love that's perfect. Oh, man. Okay. I was trying to, like, figure out. I thought that they looked like an angry pita. Like, or like some sort of hand pie with teeth. Because they look like they're round and they go, they have teeth.
Yeah.
And they go like this. And they have a, now, it's very uneven. They play fast and loose with the power sets of the various different alien factors that they go up against in this research facility, because there are the little hand pie with teeth, but they also have like some sort of stinger that I thought it injected the DNA into the victim and then turned them into another one of the monsters, but that doesn't track because that only happens to, was that a scientist, Matt, that happens to?
Well, so
to?
The scientist gets bit, right?
But I thought it was by one of the hand pie things.
It's by one of the hand things. He gets bit and he yells to his assistant to pour acid
on his hand to
try to stop it from spreading.
Yeah.
So they acid up his hand.
That's a kind of a nice, interesting way to, instead of like doing the cut off the arm to like stop the zombie movie, stop the flow, dump acid on it.
Here's the problem with that, Kyle. If they cut off the hand, that would have probably worked. But the acid didn't do its job. Oh, okay. So it didn't matter. He just acided up his hand for nothing
and then
still got possessed by the alien factor.
And then he tries to go to like one of those like showers where you like wash out your eyes and doesn't work.
But he can't. Yeah, he can't pull it. It's awful.
Oh, no.
Well, so he's not the only alien. Like there's another alien. So that guy does a straight,
like a different species or like a separate.
I think the way that they kind of explain it is, from what I got, and Matt, you can tell me I'm wrong, but what I gleaned from it is that they're messing with this alien DNA and it does different things to different. The clumps of cells will do whatever they want, but they just mutate in different ways. So it's like, it seems like every time they mutate, it's a different. It's a different kind of creature.
Yeah.
So there's this green creature that looks like it's straight out of a... Matt, what does that thing even look like to you? Like, I mean,
this is where it does
the claymation
kind of...
one.
Yeah, oh, the claymation one? I don't know. I was trying to think. I was talking about the main guy
that's
some pterodactyl puppet type thing going on.
Yeah, but there's this green creature that looks kind of like an evil frog. Almost, it looks like something out of Freaked. Almost, is it a puppet? I think it's sometimes it's a puppet and sometimes a stop motion. In any case, that creature escapes into the ceiling in this research facility. There are the mad balls with the teeth, the angry hand pies, and then there's also the guy who gets bitten by a hand pie, who then mutates, it's totally ripping off in the best possible way the metamorphosis of, is it Wilford Brimley in The Thing?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, it's like it basically like cocoons him and then hatches from him.
Yeah, but then his head like cranes up and then it becomes this other creature.
A good body cocoon. Like that is so great.
One of my only notes is the puppetry on this transformation is astonishing.
Yeah, like, or they even do the thing where the little flickering spaghettis, like the fettuccines, come out of the chest, and so it's very obviously aping The Thing, which is fine because it looks cool. I would say if you have 15 minutes free
watch
time,
that scene.
Just watch that scene because it's fun.
So I got 15 minutes.
So we the plot on Wiki is just a series of three sentences. So they even gave up, and we've pretty much already covered it. But in case you were checking the Wiki to try to figure out what happened in this movie, an alien from outer space bites a bio researcher on the hand and turns him into a monster. The first victim is the guard at the lab he's working in. The guard's daughters are getting worried that their father hasn't called them and go to the lab where they meet their worst nightmare.
The creature that the researcher becomes can also shoot those mad balls out of its chest, but they don't do anything to people. I don't know why, but they don't do damage. They do damage, but they don't mutate anybody anymore.
Yeah,
but then also it can't be killed, and like I said, very fast and loose with the logic here.
It's kind of a frustrating movie because it's like I should love this.
You know what I mean? Like when you're watching so bad that you don't have to love it. No, you don't.
Everything about it. When I'm thinking about it, and like it's one of those movies where it's like, would I feel differently if I had rented this movie as a kid? You know what I mean? Like. Because I'll tell you, when I say my double feature, this has all of the same pacing issues as my double feature. It has the same shitty special effects as my double feature. The only difference is that I saw my double feature when I was 12 and I saw this one when I was 36. So like, I'm wondering if there really is that, like, this is a perfect film if you are a teenager trying to find a monster film in the late 90s,
you know,
from your local mom and pop's video store.
The VHS cover looks like an old, like a Doom knockoff, like game. Like it looks like a PC, like an old PC game. It's a very great VHS cover.
Yeah, and I remember that VHS cover from the video store.
I never
watched
it. It's very cool.
It was in the sci-fi section, and so, but this is a straight horror movie to me. Like watching it feels like a horror movie. It doesn't feel like sci-fi. But one thing I did want to say is that I wouldn't argue that this is a perfect movie for you to rent at 13 back in the 90s from your video store. I think this is the thing that you turn on sci-fi back in the late 90s, early 2000s, when they would show all sorts of very mediocre horror and like sci-fi horror, and you just catch the actual metamorphosis scene.
Yeah.
And then you're like, damn, that was cool. But then you go 15 years, you never caught the name of it, and you just have this like mental image of the one monster, and then you go on Reddit, and for 5 years you're like, Reddit, can you help me find this monster movie? No one
Please.
Can find this monster movie for you. And then you listen to Horror Movie Night, and we're telling you about Metamorphosis, the Alien Factor. You watch it, and then your life is complete.
Fair.
That's what I think.
So the other weird thing that we have to talk about is also just the name. And Kyle, you're going to have to help me a little bit on this person, because you are, just based on strictly the documentaries that you've made, mm-hmm. I consider you an expert in cult cinema.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's a film that we've discussed on this show called Night Beast by a Maryland director named Don Doler.
I hardly know her.
Okay.
And that movie was a sequel / remake of his film Alien Factor. There's a whole lot of different things jumping around that are really just making this title extra confusing.
Hey, can I just throw in just one other alien factor here? My metamorphosis in Spain was marketed as a sequel to Reanimator. So really fucking shit up right now.
If it's a movie called Metamorphosis, don't trust it.
Don't watch it. Don't fucking watch it.
Just don't watch it. Just don't watch it unless it's a short film that's an adaptation of some Kafka. Mm-hmm. Stay the fuck away.
Well, so that night Beast by Don Dollar monster registers as a more horrified Star Wars alien.
And I've talked about this before just because it's a fun factor.
Wow, man, we cannot get away from the words factor and metamorphosis. Now, metamorphosis as we're discussing
help us, please. We're dying.
Stop us.
This variant's terrible.
If you've ever watched Blood, Beast, and Boobs, which is the documentary about Don Dollar.
Oh.
In it, they talk about how he made a sequel to Alien Factor called Alien Rampage. And on that movie, he met an actor and former cop named Joe Ripple. And Joe Ripple became his new director. Because Don liked writing and producing. He hated directing. So he handed the directing reins to Joe Ripple. And Joe Ripple directed all of the other movies for Don up until his death. And then after Don's death, Joe Ripple formed a charity organization that Horror Movie Night has ties to, which is Scares That Care.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. I completely forgot that he has those Don Dollar relationships.
They're a great organization.
Were they in Phantasm? I know you jumped around to a bunch of
they
different
were,
shows.
I don't know if they were their first year was the same year that I was doing Phantasm, or if they came about. So obviously the nonprofit existed prior to the convention, I believe. So I was familiar with the nonprofit. They did not have an event yet, but then Phantasm was released. I think it screened at the first Scares That Care. I'd have to look back because it was one of those things where it was like, if it didn't already exist, I wasn't sure that it was going to still exist. There was so many of those conventions that were just like one and done or two and done. You know what I mean? It's like,
but, of course,
the pandemic, like anything, hit them hard, but I know that they have a huge following of people who really love that show, who really, you know, Joe does a great job, and they go to other conventions and table, so it's like, it's for the charity, right? It's for the for the organization. It's cool. They have a great thing going, and I really hope that they kind of get back into the swing of things there. They have a Facebook group that I was a part of for a little while that was really cool.
And just throwing it out there, for those of you who are like, what's Phantasm? Because you may have seen
it has a tall Survival man, the Angus Scrim, 1979, Coscarelli.
Phantasm is how Kyle and I are friends.
Yeah.
It's spelled F-A-N-T-A-S-M, for the listeners.
That was a fun diversion to add some time to a movie that we don't have a lot to say. Scott, do you have anything else to add?
If we watched the same movie, it would have been great.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that you wouldn't have been able to bring any like sociopolitical discussion into it because...
No, not like...
Not like Turtles 2.
Turtles 2. My friend Jeanette, who was visiting with us this week, who I'd watched Ooze with, and then she's here this week visiting us for the holiday, and I was like, Jeanette, like, I know you were excited that we were going to talk about, but we barely talk about the movie. I'm like, you'll like it, but like we don't talk about the movie at all.
It's not quite what you expected.
No.
All right, let's talk double features. Kyle, I want to know what your double feature was going to be for the Metamorphosis that you watched.
Yeah.
Well, based on the Spanish release of Metamorphosis, I would say Reanimator, so that you could watch the original and its sequel. But my actual double feature would be Tammy and the T-Rex being the B feature, because Metamorphosis is so fucking dull and boring, but it ends with him being a lizard. But I just want to move right into something that's fun, that like is like the pace is fucking out of control. And, like, it's absolutely bonkers and much more fun. I'd pick Tammy the T-Rex.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really good choice. Yeah, I'm actually going to double feature this with the 4K restoration of The Kindred, because which is also my What Did We Watch? Because it is very gooey, and that final scene feels very similar in both movies. And, I mean, any excuse to watch a gooey monster movie and watching two in a row, I mean, that sounds like the best way for me to spend hours of my life that I can't get back.
And I would have double featured this with the movie that I was hinting at earlier in the conversation and then just like 2 minutes ago, the first Carnosaur movie.
Yeah.
Just
which
just
I've still never seen the first one, just the second.
Yeah, just got a vibe of scientists running around in a lab while some bad shit's going down.
That would work.
I mean, the second one is the superior of the three films, but yeah, there's a spot in my heart for the first Carnosaur.
So it's like Carnosaur and then Superior Carnosaur is what the second one's original working title was.
Exactly.
Way better. All right, Carnosaur.
Scott, you already hinted at it, but let's talk about that Kindred 4K that you got.
Well, I mean, so I've only watched the movie. I haven't watched any of the special features, and I don't have a CD player, so I can't listen to the soundtrack.
Do you want to borrow my 2011 Nissan Sentra to listen to it? It's the only way I listen to CDs too.
This is also dovetailing with Matt's experience last night.
Yeah, we'll get into that.
Kindred looks great. It's fun. You know, I'm a little torn because I do love the grainy shittiness of my first watch of The Kindred, and I wonder if that nostalgia is strictly for people like myself who grew up on poor scans of, you know, horror movies when the internet was younger, and also when I was in high school watching rough old copies of horror movies from the video store. So that was really a good watch, but I also think that I spent too much on that steel box version, because it's not a movie that I am really gonna like break out the Blu-ray player for, you know, like it's
right.
But anyway, I want to talk about a really bad movie that I watched as well, and I'll keep it short because it just came out on HBO Max. The Matrix Resurrections is awful. It is the worst movie I've seen in 2021. I was flabbergasted.
Just in time for the title.
Yes, it was just so bad. The writing was awful. And it's the Silent Night, Deadly Night 2 of sci-fi action blockbusters, because at least a quarter of that movie is just footage from the first Matrix movie. And I was just watching it, and I couldn't believe how bad it was. And I'm like, it can't be just me. And so I text my best friend Mario, and I'm like, dude, this movie sucks ass. And he was like, I liked it. And I'm like, are you serious? And he was like, yeah, it was just a silly movie. I didn't mind it. And then now that people are watching it and talking about it online and it's getting awful reviews, I feel so vindicated.
Because I actually watched the correct movie. I'll go next. And my what did I watch this week? Was shocked to find out that the final five episodes of Pen 15 just kind of dropped a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Those were good. It was a nice way to end the show. Got a lot more serious than the show had been before, even though it had always been like, I believe they used to call it like a traumedy. And then literally like 15 minutes ago, I just finished watching Wild Things for the first time.
Oh.
Why? Is there a reason?
It was on Netflix. And I was like, well, and it kind of ties to Pen 15, because if you remember, that's like what gets them hot and heavy for their first kiss is watching Wild Things. But like, it was one of those movies that I always heard about. I was not properly prepared for how campy that movie actually is.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I thought it was like a way more serious film, but it is like Lifetime movie garbage.
I've never seen it either. It's on Netflix, you said?
It's worth a watch.
Why are you like taking this as a recommendation? You're like, oh, it's at this point, 2022,
Scott.
I think I should watch Wild Things for the first
time.
It's Kyle. It's not on Tubi, so I'm only taking it with a grain of salt. But you know, I'll fucking watch anything, dude. Except the right movie. I will watch everything but the correct movie. Fuck. I mean, you're gonna recommend Wild Things. I'm gonna watch Cruel Intentions, and then we're just not gonna talk about it.
Actually, gonna have a better time watching Cruel Intentions. Yeah. That movie's awesome.
Wild Things. In the first 10 minutes has a moment where no one's questioning that Matt Dillon, the guidance counselor, is driving multiple students home from school, which is like red flag central. But they all hop in his car, and to make sure that the movie is properly dated, they jump into his car to the sounds of Third Eye Blind, Semi-Charm Life. And by the time he's dropping the kids off, it's the Smash Mouth cover of Why Can't We Be Friends? And I'm like, I am so into this movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Dude, oh my god, I might watch that shit tonight. I might convince my wife and my best friend that we're gonna watch that shit right now. That's so funny. And my son, Hunter.
Put Hunter's, like, put the eyes over Hunter's, cover Hunter's eyes for the
No,
movie.
He stretches them open like it's Clockwork Orange. Like,
you're gonna learn.
Alright, Kyle, what did you watch, read, etc. this week?
So, I watched Jill Gavargazarian's The Stylist. And
Oh, yeah!
I would Highly recommend it. Yeah, the short is really good. It had a great festival run, and she used a lot of the same talent: lead actor, cinematographer, editor, so many, I'm sure a bunch of other folks, but those were the main folks that I was thinking, to then make a feature. She raised a bunch of money on Kickstarter. She put out the feature. Arrow picked it up. Arrow released an amazing Blu-ray. It's on Arrow Video Player if anybody has it. And the film is really fun character study of a woman who has a truly deranged way of trying to relate to the people that she meets. She's a hairstylist who both has, you know, transient clientele and clientele that has been coming to her forever. And so you get an interaction between her and those clientele through various parts of the movie. Jill's influences she wears on her sleeve in this movie, but at the same time, it doesn't take me out of it. You know, there's some Maniac, there's some Texas Chainsaw, there's some Single White Female, there's some really, and it's fucking gorgeous. It's like, so I sometimes have a problem with movies that lean heavily into purple lights and green lights and red lights, and it's like, why does this lighting exist in your fucking movie? Like, especially for something, for a type of storyline that is based in some sort of reality, like a reality close to ours, right? You know, so I'm like, why the fuck are you doing this? Like, this is insane. The way that the color is used in this movie is fucking gorgeous. I have no questions about it. Like, I just assume it's either our main character's reality or just like a heightened sense of like weirdness. Not only a fantastic film, but really inspiring. You know, there's a female filmmaker out there in Kansas City, like, just making shit that she wants to make and like pushing forward, and I was really hype about it. I also watched Shudder from 2008, and that was absolute dog shit. So those are my two. Those are my two.
Before we sign out, I want to tell a quick story of my day yesterday. There was a bit of a COVID scare over Christmas. So even though I felt fine, I wanted to make sure that it was safe for me to interact with society. So I was like, I'm going to go get a test. Home tests are hard to come by. As Scott, who tried to help me, discovered, just going into a pharmacy to get a test around here is hard to come by. So the one place that I could use was this place called MedExpress. They opened at 8 a.m. So their recommendation was to show up early and call ahead. So I got there at 7:50 and was getting busy signals from the parking lot. So I called 137 times.
Oh, my God.
Until someone picked up. And then when they picked up, they informed me that it was at least a five-hour wait to get a test, and that there was no guarantee that I could get a reservation. They're not taking any more reservations, but to try back in about 2 hours, and they'll let me know if there's any openings to come and get tested. So I drive home. I sit around for 2 hours, call. They tell me to call back in an hour and a half. Call back in an hour and a half. They tell me to call back in an hour. Call back in an hour, and the girl... At this point, the same person has answered every single time.
Oh, no.
And she goes, I am so sorry that you keep calling. She's like, I know that this has become your entire day. We're still not taking anybody. Are you outside perchance? And I said, no, I went back home. I was told to just keep calling. She goes, could you be here in about 10 to 15 minutes? And I said, I could absolutely be there in 10 or 15 minutes. She goes, I'm just saying you might want to try in about 10 or 15 minutes. So I like hop into my car, drive over there, get parked. It's 3 o'clock on the dot, calling. Busy signal. 15 minutes, finally get someone on the phone. And they were like, yep, we got you registered. Just stay in your car, stay in the parking lot. Let us get your number. We'll call you when it's your turn. So remember how I said there was a 5 hour wait? I was not prepared that I was going to be sitting in my car from 3 p.m. until 7 p.m. just waiting. Didn't bring a book, didn't bring a laptop. The only thing that
this
I
is
had
my nightmare.
Yeah,
this is horrifying.
The only thing I had to pass the time was that in my move, I found six giant spirals of CDs that are all mixed CDs that are unlabeled. So I just went CD by CD trying to see if there was any gems on them worth reserving. I've got a giant trash bag filled with CDs that did make the cut, but I'm holding up a CD right now because I thought that this was long lost. What I'm holding is the last remaining copy of 17-year-old Matt Kelly's Christian rap album.
Oh no. Did you digitize that yet?
Oh, it is digitized, baby.
Oh, Matt, yes. All originals?
All originals, not the beats. The beats are clearly stolen. One of them is straight up.
So it's like a mixtape.
It's like a mixtape, yeah. One of them is straight up Hit 'Em High from the Space Jam soundtrack.
An absolute banger. Do not, like, that's an amazing song.
Also, my rap name for no explainable reason was Matty G.
Literally my next question. I'm so happy.
It's,
G is like the thuggish letter, like the thuggiest letter.
I think that's what my thought process was G for gangster. Gangster for God.
I love Gangster for God. That was what you should Gangsta for God. Yeah.
Well, look, we're in the new year. I'm just saying, maybe a Patreon episode we listen to
with the soundtrack
rap album.
Listen, they're going to have to pay a lot more for Patreon if they're going to make me listen to you rap about God.
As we said, we do have a Patreon. Go check it out, patreon.com/HMN podcast. Anyway, that was Metamorphosis for Kyle and Metamorphosis the Alien Factor for Scott and I, both released in 1990. We'll be back next week, actually with a guest, sans Kyle. He's been kicked off the show.
Hi!
And we'll, you know, tune in for that. It'll be a good time. Bye, guys.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.